Dr. Springer is on the air with his facts about life and how to live it. Coming to you direct from the health laboratories in Chicago by means of electrical transcription and sponsored by Acidine, nature's normalizer for acid stomach. If you care to ask the doctor any questions about life, just address them to him in care of the station to which you are listening. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the friend of millions, your old friend, Dr. Springer.
Hello, folks. Well, here we are back. Oh, bless your heart, and having a whale of a kick out of life. You know, these letters coming in here, thousands of them, only indicate one great big thing, and that is that this station is pulling in a great big way. Well, you know, I want to talk to you about something you'll get a kick out of today. I wonder how many of you folks ever remember looking back in your old family album. I was looking in ours the other day as we were going through a lot of things back up in the attic, you know. I looked back at some of the pictures of Mother, you know, with those puff sleeves on, you know. I looked at some pictures of Grandma with a bustle on the back, you know. I don't know why on earth anybody ever got a foolish idea like that in their mind. And I also found a picture of Lillian Russell there that the family had put away in the album, not that we're related or acquainted in any way, and showed Lillian in a great big hourglass sort of a type, you know, with everything that was in her abdominal cavity that God had put there, shoved up into her thoracic cavity until she was about 2 feet wide at the top, you know, and you could almost get your fingers around her waist down to the bottom. And I just happened to think how on earth the folks back in those days could ever have anywhere near good health. And, of course, the doctor's records show positively of the type of indigestion that many people suffered from, the type of deformed babies that were born into this world when mothers were lacing themselves like that. And, you know, as we look back into those things, life is certainly ridiculous. I would hate to think myself as a man that over a period of years that anybody in the form of fashion or style had been able to make me dress in such a ridiculous way that from 10 years after the other, I would look back and say, why did I ever dress in that particular style? Well, I'll tell you why I'm bringing all this up. I went down here the other day to buy a suit of clothes. You know, I have to wear clothes like anybody else. I don't belong to any of these nudist colonies around here. I haven't gone in for that yet and don't think ever will. But nevertheless, I went down to buy a suit of clothes. And the gentleman who frequently waited on me in the past, you know, he fit a coat on me to see how I like it, you know. And the vest looked very nice. And when I decided to buy a suit, I walked into the little bullpen there to try it on. Came out and I said, listen, there's something wrong with this pesky thing. He said, what do you mean? I said, I can't button this bottom button on the vest here. I said, if I button it, it throws the whole vest out of line. Oh, he says, Dr. Springer, you're not supposed to button that button. I said, what do you mean? I'm going to have my vest partly unbuttoned? He said, yes, that's the style. He said, it's a Parisian model. He said, we've decided that men should not button the lateral or button on. I said, now listen, big boy. There's no hook-nosed rascal of any denomination, I said, or any nationality that's going to tell me that I'm going to go around with my vest partly unbuttoned just because it's the style. I said, you either cut that button off of there and sew up the hole or alter my vest so I can button all the buttons because I'm certainly not going to go down the street with one of my buttons unbuttoned. I said, you know how it is today. A lot of us don't have any too many buttons anyway, and we certainly want to keep all of them buttoned up that we actually have. Well, that was that. And you know, he fixed the vest up for me all right, so I have all my buttons buttoned today. But I went down the street, take a little walk, you know. I noticed a girl in front of me that I was very, very sorry for. And she had her head all cocked over to one side, you know. And being a man somewhat enlightened along the principles of health and the various branches of therapeutics, I looked her over and I thought, well, I wonder if that girl was dropped out of a cradle when she was a child, you know. Or I wonder if she had a great fall in some athletic contest or something like that. And as I walked closer to her, she had her head all cocked over to one side, you know. And I was just on the verge of stopping her and asking her if she wouldn't like me to refer her to one or two very splendid doctors that I know who could take care of her case, perhaps. And I looked around, you know what the trouble was? She had on one of those pesky hats, you know, that covers up one of the eyes. And the poor kid was trying to see to navigate herself down the street. She had her head all cocked over to one side because one of her eyes was covered up. Say, listen, if that girl had been born into this world with something over her eye like that, her father would have spent thousands of dollars with some good surgeon to have the pesky thing amputated. But because God had put her in this world with a couple of good eyes that she could get by with, and she was going to proceed to complicate affairs for God by covering up one of her eyes, you know, so she couldn't navigate properly and having her head all screwed over to one side. You know, I get a whale of a kick out of folks the way they get along in life anyway. How many of you folks, I wonder, ever seen a bunch of ducks out in the pasture? You know what I mean? They'll be enjoying themselves under the sunlight, and all at once one of the ducks will get an inspiration of some type. He'll stand up and flap his wings and go quack, quack, quack like that, you know, and the first thing you know, all the rest of the ducks get up and they all start down going someplace. I'm sure the rest of those ducks don't figure out why they're doing it, but they merely get up and follow one duck that had some kind of a foolish idea. They'll go down and swim around a while, and pretty soon one of them will flap his wings again and say, quack, quack, like that, and they'll all come out of the water right in single file. Now, you know, a lot of people are a whole lot that way. In other words, if some bird over here in Europe or New York or someplace else, you know, decides that the clothes that you bought last year might still be good, but in order to make you buy new clothes, he has to change the entire design to put your husband in bankruptcy or otherwise, So therefore, he changes the style. And you go in to buy a suit of clothes and say, well, this is very, very good this season. Yeah, oh, boy, do I get a kick out of some of these adjectives they use. And you have to discard a perfectly good suit of clothes or a perfectly good hat or something like that simply because the styles have changed overnight. Listen, let me tell you something. I remember a number of years ago that I sat in on the board of directors of one of our nationally known automobile concerns. I want to tell you exactly what one of the men said. The engineer stood up. He said, listen, gentlemen. He said, we have not been able to make any improvements on this particular automobile this year. But he says, we know that we've got to make some changes in its appearance. Otherwise, we won't be able to sell enough cars to those people that are dumb enough to think they've got to change the design of the car to be up with the style. And so they changed the entire design of this nationally owned automobile, which I was sitting in with the board of directors at the time. Why? There was no improvement in the car, but they knew this, that if they would change the design, there would be hundreds of thousands of people in the United States because of their desire to keep up with the Joneses or the Simpsons or the Johnsons that would scrap their old car that was running in a good way and buy a new one simply to keep up with the latest fad. Say, do you know something today? The average family no more than gets the last payment made on their automobile. They'll trade a new one for fear they get out of the habit of making a monthly payment with a car, whereas there isn't one car out of 10, any engineer will tell you, that is ever worn out until it's gone into the hands of the third or the fourth owner, simply because people want to keep up with the Joneses. They're not satisfied to wear something or to keep something that is really good. They've got to simply because a few individuals that change designs and change styles are able to lead them around with a nose. And boy, I bet there's a lot of husbands right now saying, go ahead, do it, Doc Springer, pour it into them. Maybe you can save me $10 or $20 or $100 this next year. You know, I have to work with the boys every once in a while, the same as I work with the girlfriends. But this matter of style, I get a whale of a kick out of it, you know. A party told me one time, why, Dr. Springer, unless a person is properly groomed, they simply will not do it all. You know, I remember one of my lectures up in the city of Milwaukee a number of years ago. I was lecturing in the Gold Room of the Wisconsin Hotel, and I had a very large class. And at the close of all of my lectures, I always throw it open to an open forum to let them discuss anything they want to. Well, bless your heart, the folks brought up the matter of styles, whether a person should be properly groomed or whether cleanliness was all that was necessary, whether it was proper to wear last year's suit and a few more things like that. Well, I took the stand that no matter what a man would wear, if he kept himself neat and clean in life, that he would be just as well off as though he changed his style to happen to suit somebody who made up a new style design. Well, my class absolutely thought that I was wrong in the matter, and I had to stand forth almost by myself. So the next night I decided I would pull a trick on him. I went to the hall, my lecture hall, and with a part of my raiment that I was wearing, a part of my clothing that was absolutely wrong, I stood up and lectured for them for over 2 hours. I usually talk about an hour and 90 minutes, you know, one of those long-winded rascals. And I talked for a little over 2 hours. And during this lecture, I brought forth various points regarding life, making no effort whatever to conceal the fact that my clothing was not properly placed upon my body. At the close of that lecture, I picked up a book so that it would cover up the part of my clothing that was not proper. And I held it sort of gracefully in my hand as I talked to my friend. I said, now listen. Last night you people told me that a man's appearance depended entirely upon his clothing, that his success in life was very largely due to the way he dressed himself, or a woman likewise. Now I said, for the last 2 hours, I've talked before you people, several thousand of you here, and I said, my clothing have been absolutely wrong. I want any one of you people in my audience to tell me what was wrong with my method of dress tonight. And you know, I gave them 10 minutes time, and there was not one in my vast audience who was able to stand up and tell me what was wrong with my clothes. I had it covered up then with the book, of course. And you know what had happened? I had lectured before those people for 2 solid hours without a vest on. Imagine a man with a full dress suit standing up there with his shirt showing beneath the fish and soup and without even having a vest on. And yet there was not one person in my audience who had been able to even think about my clothing because of the fact I was bringing before them the absolute facts regarding life in such a way they didn't have time to think about what I was wearing. You know, I get a whale of a kick out of these people whose mentality is so deficient that they have to depend largely upon some kind of expensive rings or jewelry or something unusual like that to attract attention, you know, in order to make up for the deficiency of their mentality and the lack of personality and character that would put them across without it. I remember a number of years ago I was lecturing over in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as I recall, although I may be wrong in that particular connection. And I was one of a group of 4 speakers on a platform before several thousand in an audience. That was back in my younger days when I thought dress amounted to everything, you know, and what you said was very little importance. And I stood up there, and I was the second speaker. And I delivered a wonderful oration, I thought. Oh, and some of the people applauded out of charity more than anything else, you know. I think they tried to be nice to me. And there was a lady on the platform, a lady of about 62 years of age. Her clothing, I found later, was made from a lace curtain. She had colored the lace curtain with coffee grounds, she told me. I found this all out later. When that lady came to the platform to deliver her talk, She held that audience absolutely breathless, you might say, for over 1.5 hours. There was not a person in that audience, I'm sure, that paid any attention to the way she was dressed. A marvelous, a grand, and a glorious character. There were ladies seated before us there with jewel-bedecked bodies, you know. Women there who stood in the very highest realm of society, and women there, many of them, who were so dumb that they had to dress all up like a peacock in order to attract attention. And here was this splendid woman standing forth there with a dress that she told me herself later only cost her about $2.50 to make, made it from an old lace curtain. Now, you might say, couldn't she have done better with a better dress? I don't know. But what I do know is this. She had such a marvelous, gorgeous personality that no one stopped to think about how she was dressed about the matter, because she put herself across 1,000,000%. Friends, listen, I'm not talking against good clothes. Have all of them you want. I like my wife and my family to have plenty of good clothing and get a kick out of life. But the thought I'm getting at is this. The most important thing in life is not clothing. The most important thing in life is not how nice you look, but the important thing is your health. And to build a brain, if you please, that has that quick action that makes it possible for you to go out and achieve things in life, to really make accomplish things that are worthwhile in life, my friends. There are so many folks today that are ruining their health by these fads of reducing and various other matters of that nature. There are some people who should reduce because their bodies are too large. But in cases like that, consult your family doctor. Work with him 1,000,000%, because remember, my friends, life and health is entirely too precious for you to take any chance in ruining your health by experimenting. This is your old friend Dr. Springer speaking, and by the way, I want you to be sure to listen to my good friend Hal Dean here, who will explain to you a marvelous free offer that we have, something we want to send you absolutely free to help you to build your body strong, healthy, and disease-resisting. And so until the next broadcast tomorrow, at which time I'll say hello to you and bring you more facts regarding life, I'm going to sign off now, and come on, Hal, and tell them all about the free offer.
You've just listened to another of those interesting and inspiring talks by Dr. Curtis Howe Springer, internationally known author, lecturer, and scientist, who comes to your home 5 times a week to explain to you the facts about life and how to live it. This great educational work is sponsored by Acidine. And by the way, isn't it pleasant to know that you can drink away the torture of acid indigestion with Acidine? Well, that is just what you are urged to do. Acidine is used by thousands for this very thing. Many people say that Acidine soothes the inflamed stomach and in this way helps to end the pain and torture right away. If you are troubled with acid indigestion, gas on the stomach, or stomach pains caused by acidity, you know they can make you feel all tired and worn out. And the worst part of it is that a great many people are not even free from such pains when night comes. And often these stomach troubles interfere with their sleep. And then, because they don't get the proper rest, they don't feel fit for work the next day. That, of course, makes them worry and forces them to drive their nervous systems to exhaustion, which upsets their stomachs even more. Now, folks, why not get your package of Acidine at once from your neighborhood druggist and try this pleasant Acidine way to relief? When you do get relief and once more feel like $1,000,000, you'll just see those lines of care and pain disappear, making you look and feel years younger. Then, of course, you are better fitted for work. Perhaps some of you have been taking baking soda or, in fact, anything like that to give you relief for the moment. All I can say is, why experiment? Why not follow the example of millions, as indicated by the fact that over 6 million packages of Acidine have been purchased from over 50,000 drugstores to date? Use Acidine for truly quick results and know the joy of living. Your druggist will gladly supply you with Acidine today. Or if you wish, Dr. Springer will be glad to send to you a large trial package of Acidine, absolutely free, if you will just address a letter or postcard to him in care of the station to which you are listening. Dr. Springer is on the air 5 times a week, so be sure to listen to your station announcer at the close of this program for the time of Dr. Springer's next broadcast and get the facts about life and how to live it. And always remember, Acidine, taken morning and night, makes life a delight.